The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Everybody, and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Adult. I'm Jim Williams, your host, joined by AVN award-winning director Glenn King. Mr. King, some early thoughts here today.
Greetings and salutations, my brother Jim, and to our entire family out there of listeners. These are other people who are curious about adult entertainment, and that's what we do right here is adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious. And we're so happy to be able to talk to people all around the country who are curious about what goes on behind the sets or on the sets, behind the scenes, what goes on in our industry, and how could maybe they get involved. And so that's what we're going to do, as always, is talk about those things, maybe give a few tidbits of advice, tell some war stories from sets, and introduce you guys to an absolutely unbelievably great guest.
The guest is Victoria June, and somebody you know a lot about. Why don't you tell us about her and introduce her for us?
Victoria June is a franchise player, Jim. She is one of those people that can carry an entire company on her back, and that's important, especially as we talk to newer producers. How do you get on the map is the question people ask me all the time. They say, well, I'm starting a production company. I got this great idea. We're going to do Girls on Ladders or whatever it is. And but nobody's ever heard of me. And how do I, you know, make a splash? And I always recall how I did it back in 2003 or so. Just when I was starting out, I knew I needed somebody like that. And I was able to find Ryan Connor, who was just blossoming into the super duper star. 18 years later or whatever it is, she's still a humongous superstar. But by getting her to do it, I got her huge audience to take a look at my stuff. And they then spread the word. And so that's what you can do if you're a new producer, is find somebody who's a franchise player like that. And there are only a few girls in the industry who fit that description, maybe 10 or 15. And one of them is the great Victoria June. She is a relatively new performer who has everything that one needs to succeed in this industry, is glamorous, and jumps out when you watch her videos. And so without further ado, let's introduce you to our guest, Victoria June.
Hi.
So I'll just jump right in here. Victoria, how did you get started in the adult film industry?
I was doing a show with a few other porn stars. It was for Girls Gone Wild, and I met Natalia Starr and a few other porn stars. And I found it very interesting the way that they lived, and I kind of just got a little curious, and a month later I ended up just doing porn.
Wow, okay. So, and how did you get that first job? Did Natalia turn you on to an agent?
Yeah, so no, Natalia introduced me to a producer and director for Bang Bros and a few other companies. And a month later, they gave me a full week of work and I went to Miami. I did everything. I worked. It went great. And then after just 2 weeks, they sent me to LA, where I ended up signing with an agency.
Which one was it? Did you go straight to Spiegler?
I went straight to Spiegler, yes.
So this is all unusual, actually. Most of the time, performers start out with kind of a lesser agent. If they're lucky, they get booked with Bang Bros. Maybe Bang Bros shoots one scene. Maybe they get invited back for a second scene. Then if they're really lucky, they can move up the agent scale to somebody that's the top. But see, you started at the top of the business, essentially. I mean, that shows something about you. But bam, you didn't even have an agent. You got booked for an entire week of scenes. And then the top agent in the business signed you right away.
Correct. Yes.
Why?
That's exactly what happened.
Why? What's so special about you?
I think what it is that a lot of women now in the industry, they're just kind of plain Jane and they all look like the boring girl next door. And I was a little more different than a lot of the other girls. And I also would go to work on time and everything. But in difference, I mean, like with plastic surgery, like I do anything to enhance myself. And I get these procedures done and I look really good. And it's sort of like the back in the days when, you know, they had like the Playboy magazines and they had, you know, the women with the bigger jugs and on the front cover. So I think that's one of the reasons why, because I looked different and it was just, I wasn't like anyone else. I'm still not like anyone else. So that's good. And I think
absolutely.
That's why.
And
I think
you
that
are,
had to do something with it.
You're a fantasy girl. You're a fantasy girl. That you're somebody that you're not the girl next door where somebody's like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to see my next door neighbor naked. It's
no, that's boring.
Like, that's the girl that I could never get. That's the prom queen, essentially, you know, if you want to take it back into high school days where somebody is like, oh, man, who's the one girl in the school that would never go out with me? It's the prom queen. That's the one they fantasize about. And in your case, guys don't look at you and go, oh, yeah, I could get her. They look at you and go, well, that's out of my reach. That's a fantasy.
Yes, it's all intimidation, but really good intimidation.
Also, I would point out about you that you ooze sexuality, and the greatest performers in the history of the business, most of them, if you made a top 10 list, that's what you would say, is that you would see the look in their eye that, you know, it's like a hungry tiger waiting to devour its prey. You know, you have that look in your eye. You look like you really love sex.
Yeah. I mean, I call them man-eater eyes because every time I look at something and I'm hungry, those are the fiery, hungry eyes that just get you.
Yes. Yes, that's it. That's that look in your eyes. Yeah. Jim, I think, wanted to ask you about some of the things you like about an adult entertainment.
Okay.
Jim, that's you.
Yeah, I know. Victoria, I was just mesmerized by thinking about the hungry eyes. Anyway, Victoria, you're now in the adult business. Let's talk a little bit about what are some of the good things that you've, good experiences you've had, some of the bad experiences you've had.
Okay, I am down for that. So, with filming or just in general?
Either one.
Yeah, just in general.
What are your best experiences, the things that you really enjoy about being in the business?
What I enjoy the most about the business is that everyone else is super open-minded. We live in a really boring world where people, you know, they're just really boring. And I feel like porn stars and even directors and people in the industry, they're just so much educated on so many other things. They have, you know, they're just interesting and open to other things, even sexually and unsexually. So that's one of the things that kind of opened my mind about the industry. And I love that I can work with people who have open minds, non-judgmental, just really nice, cool people. Another thing, what I really enjoyed about the industry is it's how they have these awards. So it gives you something to work towards. It gives you sort of like a goal. So it's not just porn where you go, you work, and you go home. It's more like, okay, well, I'm going to win this, and I'm going to have this trophy at the end of the year. And people work towards it, and some do win, and I would love to see myself win. So I also love that about the industry. And how they have all pizza. Yeah.
I sure hope you win an award pretty soon here. I think that you stand out. And so that means, and I sort of have a little bit of a clue as to how the award judges operate. They watch so much stuff that they can't possibly watch every second and every minute. So you have to be stand out if you're going to win. And I think that could happen with you because you jump off the page. Let's talk a little bit about cosmetic surgery and enhancements. It's a route that not everybody chooses to go. Some people call it being a Barbie doll. Some people call it bimboism, which is, I like the phrase.
I love the bimbo, everything, bimbofication, bimbo life, the whole bimbo thing. I love it.
Because people fantasize about, you know, plastic girls, bimbos. I mean, it's one of those things where it's the shameful truth for some people, where they're like, they'll tell you to your face, oh, I love natural girls. And then if you could go back and look at what they're paying to see, they're spending money on fake boobs, strippers, and big lips and big butts. So that's actions, you.
Yeah, and actions do not lie. So
exactly. So how did you decide to get cosmetic surgery done in the beginning? Were you scared in the beginning?
Well, my first surgery ever was my first boob job, and I already had boobs, but I kind of just wanted them more big. I don't know what led me to just wanting it. I just wanted it bigger. Just thought, wow, bigger tits would look nice on me.
Yeah.
So I went for it. I would say 20 years old at the time when I had my first boob job. And then my second boob job was, you know what? I can go even bigger because it's going to look amazing. Like, I just want guys to be able to look at me from the back and see my side boob. So I got them bigger, and I remember I told my plastic surgeon, I'm like, can you just make them really big? Like, fill me up, just make it big.
Yeah.
And she did it, and it was great. So
those and are what my changed first for you like, after that? The next day, you're walking around with big boobs.
Yeah, they were humongous. I mean, they're still humongous, but I'm used to them. But still, a lot of guys would look and turn their faces. And I loved it because I had such a, like, you know, at the time I was 20 years old, my face was so little and young with, you know, these big boobs. And it's kind of like you can use your innocence to get what you want with these big, giant boobs. And I loved it. I was like, yes, they're like, this is my key to everything, these boobs.
And then you got your lips done?
Yes. I always had like really filled lips, naturally big lips, but the top, I never liked the top only because it was like half the size of the bottom. So I started filling it. And then, and I just, you know, I've always fell in love with like the Bratz doll kind of a look. So I always went for that look. And I just fell in love with it. The Bratz doll. Like a doll.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bratz doll.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bratz doll or Barbie. Yeah. So I love that. I just kept doing it. This was, I started doing my lips before the whole, you know, Kylie thing. The whole Kylie big lip thing. My lips were big for like
a while. They have been for a while.
And it makes a dramatic difference. You're listening to Let's Talk Adult with Jim Williams and Glenn King. Our guest today is the wonderful Victoria June. And we're talking to her about cosmetic surgery right now and how that can help somebody's career. You also got butt injections, I think, or butt implants.
I had butt implants.
And they look incredible. You sent me pictures and I die every time you send one. I'm just like, oh my God, kissing my phone screen.
Yes. Oh my God. I remember I sent you a message saying, hey, I'm going to do more as worship videos for you. I'm getting my butt done. And I think you went to heaven once I sent those photos after the procedure. But yeah, I just recently got it done and it's wow. I can't even explain it. Having big boobs is like, okay, great. But like now I have a huge ass. Like this is a whole different ballgame. Like, oh my God. I went to lunch the other day and everyone in the room was just staring at it. But like in a good way.
Yeah. Like you want girls because, to like, whisper about you and say jealous things. Like, oh, look at that bitch. Oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah.
I hate her.
Yeah, and then the men are just like, wow. And, you know, it goes back to the Cayman days where men are attracted to women with, you know, big boobs and big butts and, you know, nice curves, thick thighs. Like, that's what they're into.
Glenn King and I will be back with more of Let's Talk Adult right after these words.
The Local Wine Shop, a place where people go to get confused, frustrated, and end up picking pretty labels instead of great wine. Well, now there's a better way. At TastingRoom.com, America's number one personalized wine club. Every bottle is selected based on your personal wine profile, and fewer than 1 in 50 wines makes it through our rigorous selection process. We're so sure that you'll love our wines that every bottle is backed by our total satisfaction guarantee. The Huffington Post calls Tasting Room the first wine club to get it right. Get amazing wines at incredible prices, selected just for you, delivered right to you. Go to TastingRoom.com and receive your exclusive tasting kit of world-class wines. Once you get your kit, taste, rate, and build your personal profile one sip at a time. It's a no-brainer. Great wine without the guesswork, backed by our total satisfaction guarantee. Go to TastingRoom.com, enter promo code GRAPE8, and get your exclusive tasting kit, a $40 value for just $6.95. TastingRoom.com, code GRAPE8. TastingRoom.com. Taste, rate, enjoy.
This is firefighter Rafael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Glenn and I will continue with our conversation with Victoria June.
If you ask an anthropologist about the ape population, this is true stuff. You can Google this. But the most popular female ape is the one with the biggest butt. That just goes back to our most basic instinct. And I'm one of those guys. It's like catnip to me. Like, you put a big butt in front of my face and I just want to, you know, kneel down and start kissing it. And, you know, I'm immediately attracted to it.
And so I think having a huge ass is a form of royalty, honestly, because now it's like, not only do I have big boobs, I have this giant butt that I can sit on your face and, you know, it's fun. So
yeah, Jim, the minute that she texted me pictures of her butt, I got my calendar on my screen and like seconds later, I'm like, okay, when can we have you here in Vegas so we can shoot you again? And I got her on the count. Exactly. Am I going to be the first person you shoot returning from this, or you got others before me?
I have two others before you that I'll be shooting in Los Angeles, and then I'm heading to Vegas to shoot for you. But
okay.
But yours will be the first one just focusing on that part of my body.
The first ass worship scene.
My first ass worship. Are we allowed to say that? I didn't want to see it bad.
Yeah, we can pretty much say anything here, but we try to keep it, you know, relatively on a serious level.
Sure.
Let's
yeah.
You know. But Jim, just so you understand, that's basically what I make on my website is Ask Worship Scenes. I'm focused on the thing that is the most basic instinct of humans, the worship of the female big butt.
I was just going to say real quick to your point, Glenn, that in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, as you know, Victoria was talking about the Playboy, when Playboy magazine came out, most of the women in Playboy magazine weighed somewhere in the neighborhood of, say, 130, 35 pounds, but it was well-proportioned. It was a voluptuous figure. And, you know, that was the pinup girl. And that's what guys fought for in World War II. That's what you saw in Mad Men during the 60s. And it wasn't until the 70s where the arc turned a bit. But I think that it's coming back. People like Victoria is bringing it back. People like you are bringing it back.
Absolutely. Throughout history, the most successful and most beloved females have been curvy, voluptuous women, not tiny little skinny things. Although, no disrespect towards tiny little skinny things. They're great, too.
Tiny little skinny things.
Yes. I love tiny little skinny things, especially tiny little Asian girls. But that's another day. So this is the thing now. I want you to get this out there because if you ask like 100 guys for advice, should I get enhancement surgery or no?
They would
99 of them are going to lie,
no, basically,
and say, no, you look so beautiful. You don't need makeup. You don't need any enhancements. You're wonderful as you are. And that's just not necessarily the best advice for everybody. So let's just put it out there right now. You're giving advice to a young performer who wants to last a long time in this business, who says to you, Victoria, I have no boobs. Should I get boobs? What are you telling them?
Absolutely. Do whatever's going to make you happy and whatever's going to make you more money.
Right. And will big boobs make you more money?
Big boobs will always make you more money.
Absolutely. And it's not just in performing in films, right?
No, it's other things like featured dancing, making appearances at events and getting paid for those things. And, you know, stuff like AVN, things like Exotica, you know, conventions. You'll make so much money.
So you get paid to host events. What do you do when you're hosting an event?
When I'm hosting an event, I'll give out like DVDs that I've starred in. I would also give out t-shirts with my name on it, and I would do signings and take photos with the people, do like a greet and meet kind of a thing.
Yeah. So it's a pretty easy job, but it gets you a lot of fans and new friends and you get paid.
Yeah, and you can meet your fans one-on-one and learn from your fans what they want to see you in, and you can get creative and, you know, do different things.
Yeah, and the reality is that there's only so many adult film jobs going around these days. It's not – when I started in the 90s – or excuse me, the early 2000s, a girl could work like 25 times a month if she wanted to. But nowadays, there just aren't that many production companies. And so you have to find other ways to make money. And feature dancing is just one of the greatest ones. If you look at the feature dancing list of all the girls, you don't see a lot of natural-looking girls doing it. It's the glamour.
No. Yeah, it's the big titty, big booty girl doing it. Always the hot girls.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So maybe we would say to girls, when you get in the industry, okay, maybe when you look 18, you want to do 50 or 60 scenes with your natural look, and you'll be in Teen Runaways number 32. But then after that, if you want to stay in the business, and on all those teen companies have already shot you, and you're starting to get a couple years older, you got to look into other ways to enhance yourself, and that's where the concept of investing in yourself comes in. And that's what you've done, right?
Yeah, you invest in yourself. You kind of change it up, switch it up for your fans. Let them see a different side of you. Let them see you with bigger tits. You know, make them jiggle, have fun with it, own it, enjoy those boobs. You know, you only get a pair. So why not? And, you know, it's always just changing things up and looking different. And like, if you can look like anything else and you want to, and it's going to make you more money, I don't know why there's a reason to not do it. I always see it in a positive light that, hey, you know, if you're going to make more money and it's going to make you look better, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. And you also diversified yourself by doing fetish, which I'm not sure if that's just because I picked you at the time, but I mean, just to give background here, Jim, I don't usually shoot performers who are relatively new in the business. I like to wait for them to have been around for a few years so they get their dialogue down and have learned how to open up for the camera, et cetera. But I remember seeing Victoria June, a scene with her maybe on Bang Bros, very like only a month or two after she'd gotten the business. And I called her agent. It's like, okay, how soon can we get Victoria June here? And I think that was probably right after you'd left your agent, who then said to me, she's already left me. She's already gone, but I'll give you her number. So is that what we did? Did I book you the first time through the agent and then the second time?
You booked me the first time through the agent, and then after that, yeah, he gave you my number.
Yeah. And I was like, well, good. I said, good. I'm glad she left you because I know she's reliable and responsible. I don't need the agent at this point. But I did book you for a femdom scene, a female domination scene without any prior experience, and you killed it and you did fantastic. And since then, I believe we have you scheduled for our sixth scene or seventh scene coming up.
Yes, I have you here right on my calendar.
Yeah. So you, but were you, how did you feel doing female domination without a lot of experience? Was it something that came very easily to you?
Because, well, you know, I'm into the whole cuckold things and I'm into always getting what I want and, you know, just having men do what I want to make me happy. And so that has a little bit to do with it. But yeah, I was just really into it naturally. So I think that also helped, just being naturally into that.
You're bossy. That's what it is.
Yeah,
you're
I'm very bossy. Demanding.
You're perfect. Jim's going to ask you about advice for guys who want to get into the business. But I just want to remind people first that you're listening to Let's Talk Adult, hosted by Glenn King and Jim Williams. And we have the franchise player, Victoria June, with us here. Jim, go ahead.
Thanks. What do you think makes a great male performer?
A great male performer? A hard cock. Hard. It has to stay hard. you know, someone that can open up for the camera and keep going, and someone who's passionate about their job, and, you know, someone that's just into it. Has to be into it.
Like, what would you say to a male performer who came to you and said, okay, I've worked with you in some scenes, but what general advice would you give to make me the best male performer out there? Like, somebody said to me yesterday, like, somebody should talk to the male performers about their hygiene, because not everyone sort of gets it. Is that the quickest thing you would say? Tell them.
Shower, clean it up. We females douche before our scenes, and we make sure we're all nice and clean. The same, you know, we just always make sure we look perfect. So I feel like the men should also, you know, like try to do the same. You know, take a shower, put on some deodorant.
Yeah.
You know,
you think
things
you're
like
obvious,
that.
But not always.
Not like I've had good luck in that department, but I mean, there are some guys that don't get it, I guess the way they were brought up or something. I have no idea, but yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah. What about grooming? Like, do you want a guy to shave down there, or should he just leave
it
undone?
It all depends on the man. He can, I've had sex with men with hairy bobs down there, and it didn't bother me, but then some men shed more than other men down there as well. And I kind of don't like getting things stuck in my teeth while I'm giving my blowjobs. I don't like having to floss at the same time.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess it all depends. I say keep it trimmed, leave a little bit of hair on it to, you know, be nice and masculine. Or just shave it off, but definitely groom it, take care of it.
Yeah.
Keep it nice and clean and just keep it smelling good, you know. They have things for men for that area.
So male talent, you know, and I'm going to add to that. First off, be obsessed with smelling good. You want your girl to look like she wants to be there. I keep a giant thing now of mouthwash next to set, because I was in a scene yesterday and I must have mouthwashed myself like 18 times, especially because there was kissing at one part of the scene. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go near her unless I'm sure my breath is perfect. But every male talent needs to think that way, that you need to do that. Now, I debated myself a couple weeks ago, do I shave my armpits or not? Does that matter?
No, you're a man. Oh, no, that's for women. You know, women, we keep it nice and classy, we shave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But men, no, as long as you just take a shower, use deodorant, keep it nice and trimmed a little bit down there, and you just naturally smell good, and you know, you're just nice. That makes us want to work with you, and that's what gets you jobs, because at the end of the day, men are always replaceable, but the women, you know, some fans want to see a certain type of girl, so sometimes the women are not replaceable.
Yes. Let's be honest with you guys out there. You are 100% replaceable, and that's just the truth of it. If I have to decide who I have to cut out of a scene, if there's a conflict, it's going to be the girl. I book Victoria June for a scene, and then I get a male talent that works for Victoria. That's the way it's always going to be. And all of you guys who email me and text or and send me DMs saying I'm better than the guys in your scenes and I qualify, you don't understand what the criteria is. I'm not looking for the guy with the biggest dick. I'm looking for the guy who will show up on time, not ruin the scene in any way, be able to pop on time, be able to get a hard on in front of the cameras, and not do anything that creeps out the female talent, because she's the more important one. You guys, if you can understand that, now you're a little bit closer to being a male talent.
Of course.
What about agents? So you're one of the few people now who's been super successful without an agent.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You think a new girl.
And thank you.
An agent, or
yeah, I do not have an agent. I feel like I worked really hard and I networked very well during my first few months in the industry, and I feel like, you know, you don't need an agent. I mean, if you want to get started and you want someone, you know, to help you organize for the first year in the industry, I can see why, you know, doing that, why not? But after that, you kind of don't really need an agent, as long as you're, you know, you have good friendships with people and you're on good terms with the companies that you work for, and you show up on time, and you're, you know, you're looking good, and you're taking care of yourself, and you're performing well, there's no reason to have an agent.
If you're good at keeping your own calendar.
Of course, yeah.
Some talent, they just aren't. Some girls, I can remember there was one girl who I think I booked her 3 times before I gave up, because each time I kept texting her and saying, just confirming, we're on for next week. And then she'd go, I have that day open. Do you want to book me for next week? Like, well, I booked you 3 weeks ago and then again last week. So some girls just aren't good at keeping their own calendars. It probably has a lot to do with how often they smoke weed.
Yeah, I don't smoke weed, so I don't have that problem. I mean, I have my calendar on me right now, so.
Yeah, no, you're super reliable. But I would point out to females that what you did was you got on with one of the top agents, and that helped establish your credibility. I think it's really tough to just start with no agent and start emailing producers, which I get emails from girls all the time saying, hi, I'm new in the business and I would love to work for you. I'd want to do one of your scenes. And I'm hesitant to book them because I don't know whether they're going to show up. I have to pay for a plane ticket to get them here. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get tested properly, if they even understand how the testing system works. I don't know if they're familiar with rates in the industry.
I feel like once a woman makes a name for herself in the industry,
and people know who she is through her good work ethics and through the agency that she's with. That once, you know, that she doesn't need to keep that contract if she can organize and keep herself busy and be professional. But yes, being with an agent does help at first because you get to meet other people. Like, I got lucky. I met Natalia, and then I met directors, and then I met Spiegler. And, you know, Spiegler was great. And then after not being with him anymore, I just don't see a reason to have an agent. But there are women that do need an agent to get established. I feel like once you're established, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
In the sense of taking advantage of your own career and taking charge and deciding what you want to do and what you don't want to do and who you want to work with and who you don't want to work with and, you know, things like that. And what way you want your career to head to. If you want to stretch it out, if you want to rush it in.
And what did he teach you? What did Spiegler teach you?
He taught me how to be more reliable and more organized. And he was great, honestly. He was really great for the time that we were together. It was good.
He's been in the industry a long time. And this is the thing that any talent could use. It's just somebody to mentor you. It doesn't have to be an agent, but somebody to teach you kind of the basics of what to bring to set with you and how to keep a calendar and how to be reliable and all those things. And I don't know, maybe if some of these agents don't even do that anyway. So for some girls, it's just better to find somebody. Did Natalia mentor you? Did she teach you a few things going into the industry as well?
She mentored me in a way where if I had a question, I would ask her about, oh, have you worked with this person? How are they? You know, stuff like that. But other than that, no. I love her, but no. You know? I'd be lying.
She's a lot of fun. She's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, but no, she would give me good advice if I needed. Yeah. If I had a question about working with this company or working with that company, or oh my god, what should I wear? I'm so nervous. She would give me advice like, relax, own it, be confident, and as long as you feel comfortable, you'll be good and you'll do a great scene, and you know, people will book you over. And she was always, you know, she gave good advice.
Yeah, she's a super duper performer. We always try to give advice to independent producers because people all over the country are getting into the business these days because they can. You don't have to be in LA. You don't have to be in Vegas. You don't have to be on the West Coast. You don't have to be gone to film school. Kind of anybody who really has a passion for making adult films can get into the industry these days. But they can't necessarily get a performer, an A-lister like yourself, to come work for them. So what kind of advice would you give to a producer who's a relatively unknown, who's booking you, who's trying to book you, about things that they need to do to be professional? You know, for example, a talent yesterday was telling me a story about how actually, it wasn't just a story. I was with a talent yesterday who got her information at 6 p.m. last night for a scene today, and they told her to bring white stripper heels and a white outfit. But they knew that she was on day 3 of a trip here. So they waited until 6 p.m. the night before to say white stripper heels. And she was like, okay. She told her agent, tell them that they need to reimburse me for the new stripper heels I'm going to have to buy because I didn't bring them with me on this trip. So that's an example of something that the producer should think about, that, you know, you can't just book a girl and expect her to have Ginger from Gilligan's Island's wardrobe with her at all times. What kind of advice would you have like that for producers?
You know, give them wardrobe requirements and the script at least a week before so they have time to buy the wardrobe that they need so they can perform better. And if they need a certain thing in the wardrobe, they can go buy what they need. That way everyone's happy, the talent shows up on time, it doesn't have to push back production time, things like that. Because once you push back production time, then the whole day is just, it ends up taking up the whole day, and then everything's like unorganized and unprepared, and you just have to be like really prepared for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And All right, so Jim's going to ask you about...
I've got one here, Victoria. As we get ready to wrap things up, you know, Glenn talked about you being a fantasy girl, all right?
My fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Well, mine too. I gotta say it. Okay, I threw it out there. For those of us who can only dream, and I'm telling you, I can only dream about this. What would it be like? What if a guy wants to date you? What are you looking for in a guy?
I want to see him well spoken, well dressed, just super nice guy. I mean, obviously, take me out to a nice place. You know, but I look for just like a good guy, just like a good guy who has a, you know, has a job and is well spoken and dresses really nice. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt if the guy had a manicure.
No.
And just someone that takes care of themselves physically and is super nice, because that gets my attention.
Let's build a cheat sheet here, Jim.
Yeah, I've got my kind of pen restaurant? Going right now.
Yeah, write this down. Okay, what kind of restaurant there, Victoria? We Italian or what?
I like everything. So whatever. We can do sushi. We can do Italian. We can do whatever.
And then what kind of wine is he ordering at the, you know, because he got to impress you by knowing the right kind of wine to get.
Uh-huh.
So are you red wine?
What you're eating.
Depends on what
we're having steak, yeah. I want red wine. And if we're eating fish, I want white wine.
Yeah, classy. Okay. And then is there a dessert involved here?
There's always a dessert involved. I don't know if it's food or if it's the guy, but it's always involved. It just depends how the night goes.
Yeah, okay. And then... Okay. How far is he supposed to try and go on the first date here? If you really like him, are you willing to go all the way to first date, or are you going to make a guy wait like a few weeks?
No, I wouldn't make the guy wait a few weeks, but I also wouldn't do it the first day. I like to build up anticipation towards things. So I would probably want to make out with him and have him eat me out, and then, you know, just go down on me, or I go down on him, and then the next day we, like, you know, the next time we hang out, then we, like, you know, go the whole nine yards.
Yeah. So I'm picturing, now I'm starting to get dirty in my head. So I'm picturing,
I want,
like,
him to go home and think of me, you know, and be obsessed with me and give me everything good and, you know, do a good job.
So we're talking like a 69 type thing, and you're teasing about wanting to put it in, but telling him no. We're going to have to wait.
Mm-hmm. Just gonna making have to him wait for it.
Yeah.
Make it nice and hard.
Well, that certainly painted a picture for our ending here, didn't it?
Yes. She's a dom at heart, Jim. This is why I found it so easy to shoot her and to start expanding on all the things that we do with her. Because like it just all goes, fits with her natural capabilities. So not every girl has that.
Right, and now making everyone want more, we're at the end. So, Glenn, I'll let you talk get her the last question and get her information so that everybody can follow. Lovely, right. Victoria.
Let's just wrap this up in this way. Victoria, tell us about your best day on set, your favorite set you've ever walked onto in that day, and then your worst one. You don't have to give out any names here. And then we'll just let you give out your social media, which she's brand new back on. She was off Twitter for a while, but now she's back. So, okay, what's your best and worst day on set?
Okay, my best day on set, it was my very second scene. It was with a guy named J-Mac. It was the first, like, best thing for me, because the first day I was a little more nervous, and the second day I'm like, oh yeah, I got this, I have this, I'm going to fucking so good. And oh my god, I was already, like, you know, like, thinking all night, because I fucked him the first day. So the second day we had another scene together, and I was just like, I forgot to do this and that, and I'm like, okay, when I see him, I'm gonna do all of these things to him.
Yeah.
And I went out on set and I did it and I had fun, and it was so big and juicy, and it filled me up, and it just made me very happy just to
have, you know, have had the other chance to fuck him the way I wanted the second scene. Because the second scene was more of a free-for-all, kind of do your own thing. But yeah, so I enjoyed it. And my worst day on set, was when, already many months into the business, I worked with someone and it was for like a blowjob scene and I kind of puked and the person wanted to keep going and I kind of didn't feel good and I didn't feel like I was being respected. But I mean, you know what, you kind of pull through those things. So like the only reason I finished it was because I was like, you know what, I'm already here, so I'm just going to finish it, but I'm never going to work with this person again. So yeah, that was like a bad scene. Cause I feel like it should be fun. If you're going to do a blowjob, you should suck it the way you want to, not in a way that you don't want to, or where it makes you feel uncomfortable. Everything should be good. Everything should make you feel comfortable. And, yeah.
There you go. So if you're a producer and you're relatively new in the business and you think, and the girl pukes during a blowjob scene.
Yeah.
Don't think to yourself, oh, awesome, this will look great when I film this. Have some consideration for the girl and how, what she doesn't want content of her puking to go out on the internet. And
yeah,
you know,
because it's not sexy at all. And I mean, the reason why it was worse, days on set, was because we said our do's and don'ts before we filmed, and then that happened, and I'm just like, okay, this person does not respect me. So I can't really have sex with someone who doesn't respect me.
Right.
You know, it's all about like being turned on and being respectful to one another and never crossing that line and making each other look good on film, not look bad. All about
and let me just say, Jim, that when Victoria's on set, those are my best days on set. She's the kind of girl on set who just makes everyone feel happy and better, and we enjoy the day, as opposed to some days we have on set where we're just trying to think, okay, how many more minutes do we have to film before we can all go home here? There are just some performers who just make everybody on set happy and you know, create this positive environment to work in. So good job there.
And who wants to be there and isn't on their phone.
Yes.
Let's add that one. That's a big one.
If I was giving advice to a female former, if you're brand new in the business, careful with that one. You don't want the reputation that you're always off on Instagram when we're trying to get you back to set and get things going.
Or even the male, even the men. Even for the men.
Are they doing that now? I would kill a male talent on
my
set.
They're doing the Zoolander face and doing videos and stuff like that behind the scenes while you're waiting for them to hurry up and finish. They can finish up your scene and it sucks. But hey.
I'd toss a male talent out the door if he was doing that on my set. But, you know, it happens. All right. What's your social media? You got a big Instagram presence. People should watch your Instagram for sure.
I have a big Instagram. So my Instagram handle is yourvictoria_. And my handle for Twitter, which I just had to make a new one, it's yourvictoria_ as well.
Special thanks to our guest, Victoria June. And Glenn King and I will be right back with more of Let's Talk Adult right after these words.
The Local Wine Shop, a place where people go to get confused, frustrated, and end up picking pretty labels instead of great wine. Well, now there's a better way. At tastingroom.com, America's number one personalized wine club. Every bottle is selected based on your personal wine profile, and fewer than 1 in 50 wines makes it through our rigorous selection process. We're so sure that you'll love our wines that every bottle is backed by our total satisfaction guarantee. The Huffington Post calls Tasting Room the first wine club to get it right. Get amazing wines at incredible prices, selected just for you, delivered right to you. Go to tastingroom.com and receive your exclusive tasting kit of world-class wines. Once you get your kit, taste, rate, and build your personal profile one sip at a time. It's a no-brainer. Great wine without the guesswork, backed by our total satisfaction guarantee. Go to tastingroom.com, enter promo code GRAPE8, and get your exclusive tasting kit, a $40 value for just $6.95. Tastingroom.com, code GRAPE8. Tastingroom.com. Taste, rate, enjoy.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Let's Talk Adult. I'm Jim Williams, along with the award-winning producer-director, Glenn King. Now, if you've not yet had the opportunity to subscribe to our podcast, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, we make it simple. You can go to the iTunes Store, part of the Apple Podcast family, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify, not to mention YouTube. So we make it very simple to do. Please go out there and subscribe to us today. Hit the favorite button and you'll get it sent to your tablet or to your iPhone or to both. Okay, so go do that today. All right, Mr. King.
Yes.
You always do those wonderful sayings and you send us out with a thought for the week. So ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, Glenn King and his thought for the week.
Jim, my thought for the week is this. I will leave you with a quote from the great Germaine Greer, who says, "A library is a place where you can lose your innocence without losing your virginity." And if you think about that, that very much applies to adult films. Don't be someone who represses your sexuality. Go out and watch adult videos with an open mind. Explore your fetishes. Explore your sexuality. Find out what really turns you on, because maybe, just maybe, you didn't realize you're into feet or something else. And if you want to find true happiness, explore your sexuality. There you go.
Glenn, thanks for those wonderful thoughts. Okay, everyone. Until next time here on Let's Talk Adult, I am Jim Williams for Glenn King, saying so long, have a great week.
This is Firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.